This is Ask the Experts. Every week, we talk to local experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement.
I'm just a working man, but I stay busy every day.
On this edition of Ask the Experts, we speak with Bob Bollinger of Bollinger Law Firm about workers' compensation.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke and 1660, also available on the 94.7 Smoke app. You can hear it there as well. Be sure and download that. Every week, we bring on a lot of different experts to talk about a lot of different things, whether it be health, finances, you know, HVAC services, home improvement, and different areas of law. And this week, we're back with one of our great friends, Mr. Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. Good morning, Bob. How are you today, buddy?
I'm fine, Will. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, man, we love having you, buddy. Always love having you. If you have now, Bob Bollinger specializes in workers' compensation law. So if you have any questions, if you've been hurt on the job or you got, you know, you just got some questions you need to ask, he's definitely the guy to reach out to. You can call him at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. And also on the web at BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Don't forget that NC. So, you know, Bob, you and I have done a couple of these shows, and we've really focused on the person trying to get workers' compensation and the client, as it were. So this week, you know, we were talking before we got started, and I was kind of asking you a few questions about the other side of the of that coin. You know, specifically, you know, what do client or what does an employer have to do and to protect themselves, and what do they need to make sure they have in a situation where workers' compensation comes up?
Well, that's a great question, Will. In North Carolina, mm-hmm. if you're an employer and you have three or more regular employees, then you're required to either purchase workers' compensation insurance to cover your employees, or you have a process you can go through with the Department of Insurance to become a qualified self-insured. Now, for a small business that has three or more regular employees, it doesn't make any sense to become self-insured. It's a more expensive process. It ties up a lot of your capital for a lot longer because you've got to deposit a bunch of money in a special bank account for that. So what makes sense for a small business, certainly, is to buy the workers' comp insurance. And the cost of that workers' comp insurance will vary depending on what kind of business you're in. You know, in my office, I run a law firm, and we have five regular employees, so we have to buy workers' comp insurance. And I renew mine in October, and I believe last October when I renewed my policy, it cost me a little bit less than $1,000 for a year, which is just not bad.
No, no.
But it's an office setting, so nobody gets hurt. Nobody
the likelihood falls. Of injury is...
The likelihood of injury and the likelihood of a serious injury are very slim. Nobody falls off a roof. Nobody cuts their finger off with a saw, that kind of thing.
So what you're saying is you're not the worst employer to have.
No.
You're not forcing anybody on a roof.
Yeah, we're not... I don't make the paralegal climb on a roof. You know, yeah. Personally, I don't climb on a roof either.
Me
but, yeah, too old to do that. But and getting on a roof in dress shoes is really foolish anyway. You know, weather sole on a roof? I don't think so.
See, right here on Ask the Experts, that's where you get that good expert advice right yeah. there.
Don't get on a roof in your dress shoes. You fall off. So anyway, but speaking of roofs, if you have a roofing company and you have five employees, your workers' comp expense is going to be a whole lot higher because a roofer is much more likely to get hurt. And if he does get hurt, it's much more likely to be a serious injury. Mm-hmm. It's the same with a lot of construction trades, manufacturing, trucking. You know, you got a higher likelihood of injury and you got a higher likelihood of a serious injury in those more physical jobs.
Right.
But the law requires you to have that insurance if you have three or more regular employees. Now, regular doesn't mean full-time or part-time. It means do you have an employee that is employed in your business with some constancy? That's the best definition we have. Mm-hmm. So it can be three part-time employees, it can be three full-time, or it can be a mixture. If you've got somebody working for you as an employee with some constancy over a period of time, mm-hmm. then that's a regular employee. Mm-hmm. And if you got three of those people, then you've got to go buy the insurance. And you can get it from any commercial insurance broker. Typically, a broker represents several insurance companies, and once they get your census data, they can shop it around to different companies and try to get you the best deal.
Now, let's say a business owner does not have that insurance. What are they looking at? You know, I've got 15 employees, but I've got four and I don't have that insurance. What's the outcome there?
Well, if you've got three or more regularly employed employees, and you don't have the insurance, you can get in a lot of trouble. It's expensive trouble, and it could be even worse. Under the state law, if you're a non-insured employer, you can be fined up to $100 a day for every day that you're non-insured.
Wow.
That's $36,500 a year.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got four employees, and you've had four employees, and you haven't bought insurance, maybe because your insurance broker for some reason told you you didn't need it, and you relied on that advice. Well, your broker was wrong. You do need it. And you've been uninsured for 3 years. Well, that's $36,500 a year for 3 years. Let's do the math on that, Will. That's over $100,000 in penalties.
That's not chump change.
And nobody's gotten hurt yet. You've simply been discovered by the Industrial Commission. And the Industrial Commission, the North Carolina Industrial Commission, which governs workers' comp, has been cracking down on non-insured employers the last couple of years. The commission has worked out a collaboration with the North Carolina Department of Revenue and the North Carolina Employment Security Commission to where they share information, and that information enables the commission to figure out how many employees a business has. So now they're screening to see if there's any businesses reporting three or more employees, and then they're looking in their own commission database because the rate bureau is supposed to report to the commission who's bought insurance. So the commission knows who's bought insurance and who hasn't, and now they're using the Department of Revenue and the Employment Security Commission to tell them who has three or more employees. They're matching up those two databases, and they're finding employers that don't have insurance, and they're going after them.
Wow.
And it's considered to be workers' compensation fraud to not have insurance when you're supposed to have it.
Wow.
There's also a criminal penalty for workers' comp fraud. Depending on the amount in controversy, it could be a misdemeanor or it could be a Class H felony. So that's pretty serious, too. That's got prison time associated with it.
The F word.
Yeah, the F word, felony. So not only can you get fined $100 a day, but you can literally end up getting prosecuted for a Class H felony, which I believe, I'm not a criminal law attorney, I think the Class H carries up to 8 years in prison as a potential penalty.
Wow.
So it's
simply not having some insurance.
Yeah. That technically, that's possible. Now, I haven't heard of the commission actually prosecuting anybody for not having the insurance, but they do fine them, and they hit them for the whole $100 a day, even if it's for years.
Wow. Wow. So, but it's your law firm. You're willing to talk to an employer too about their problems, right? I mean, you guys do. You said you handled a few cases like that over.
I have over the years. If an employer is out there listening to this and isn't sure whether he needs to have insurance or something, he can call me and I'll be glad to talk to him and help him figure that out. I don't generally represent employers. I just represent employees.
Yeah, yeah.
And occasionally I take a case for an employee where the employer is not insured. And if the employer is not insured, here's another cool thing about it from the employee perspective. If the person at the employer's business, somebody at that business made a decision not to get workers' comp insurance, mm-hmm. might be the owner, might be the president, might be the human resources person, whoever it is, we get to hold them personally liable for the injured worker's claim.
Wow.
So if you have an employee working for you and they get hurt and you chose not to buy workers' comp insurance because you didn't want to spend the money, then you're looking at being personally responsible for whatever that claim cost. And the claim, let's say they fell off the roof and they suffered a compound fracture of the leg. They had to have an operation to put that bone back together.
Mm-hmm.
They spent 3 days in the hospital. They're out of work for 6 months. Well, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars of expenses. You got all the medical expenses. That's probably $40,000 right there for that case. And you're talking probably another $20,000 for that time out of work, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be what we call permanent partial disability at the end of that process that you're going to owe. So you could easily have to come out of pocket $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in addition to the $100 per day penalty that the commission is going to assess
mm-hmm.
for not having insurance. If you were the guy who or the woman who decided not to buy the insurance, then guess what? The plaintiff's lawyer, the injured worker's lawyer, is coming after you personally.
Wow.
You'll be named personally as a party to the workers' compensation case. There will be a hearing in front of a deputy commissioner who only handles these non-insured cases, and that deputy commissioner is likely to put the whole expense on you personally. The plaintiff's lawyer can then have that docketed just like a civil judgment, like it came from Superior Court, and then send the sheriff out to demand the money. And if you don't have the money, then sheriff can foreclose on your property, take your truck, take your boat, yeah, take your house, all because you didn't buy workers' comp insurance.
Wow.
So you can't win if somebody gets hurt. You're going to lose. And not only that, but you might lose everything.
Well, he's Bob Bollinger, and as you can tell, he knows his stuff when it comes to workers' compensation. If you have questions, feel free to reach out, 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Also on the web at BollingerLawFirmNC.com, and Bollinger is B-O-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. Easy for me to say, huh? So stick around. We got a couple more segments here on this edition of Ask the Experts with Bob Bollinger. We'll be right back right after this.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back once again to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke and 1660, also available on 94.7 Smoke app. Today we're talking to Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. He specializes in workers' compensation law. You can give him a call at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. And also on the web at BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Bollinger Law Firm, don't forget the NC.com. You know, Bob, in the last segment, we talked about the other side of this coin, and that's you know, where I'd like to stay with you for just a couple more minutes here. You mentioned that basically you have to, if you have three employees or more, that you have to have insurance. But you were telling me there in the break that there's some other, you know, there's some other little tricky parts of that as far as requiring someone to have insurance if they own a business. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, that's right, Will. The basic rule is three or more regular employees, which again, a regular employee can be part-time or full-time, is somebody that you employ with some constancy, is a regular employee. So three or more regular employees, you got to have the insurance. If you have radiation on your work premises, even if you only have one employee, you've got to have workers' comp insurance. So if you're a dentist or a doctor, and let's say you've only got two employees, you've got a nurse or an assistant, and you've got an office manager, but you got an x-ray machine on the premises, you're required to have workers' comp insurance. And, you know, interestingly enough, I had a case a few years ago against a dentist who didn't have workers' comp insurance, and he had an office assistant who was putting some supplies on a shelf, and she leaned over to pick up a box, and when she did, she ruptured a disc in her lumbar spine, her lower back, wow, which is not an unusual injury for lifting. And this guy, he was about, I don't know, 37, 38 years old, and his dental practice was going really well, and he was making some pretty good money. And bam, he had this case, and he didn't have any insurance, and he ended up having to pay out of pocket. And he was not real happy about it. And,
imagine not.
You know, you can't blame him, because a ruptured disc case can be easily a $100,000 case. And, he, you know, we ended up settling the case, and he was able to avoid the big penalties from the commission, but he still had to write a big check to my client because of the medical expenses and her time out of work for that ruptured disc. And he, I believe, only had two employees, but because he had an x-ray machine on the premises, he was required to have workers' comp insurance.
Yeah.
Now, there are special rules for domestic employees, agricultural employees, and logging companies. And I won't get into all those rules because they're very fact-specific, but if you have people working for you in your home, that's domestic. If you have an agricultural business, or if you're running a logging operation, then you need to consult with a workers' comp lawyer or at least your insurance broker about whether you need to buy insurance for those employees. Yeah. Because the penalty is the same. If you're supposed to have it and you don't have it, it's still a $100 a day penalty and the personal liability for the claim.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you, I want to throw some odd situations at you. Let's say, for instance, odd one. How about a barber? Okay. So you've got a guy that's, you know, cuts hair for a living. Okay. And he's renting a booth within a salon. He is not technically an employee of the salon. He is sort of self-employed, or I don't know how that would actually, I don't know how that would be considered. So what happens and he gets hurt somehow and it's a result of, you know, maybe he cuts his hand or he does something like that. How would something like that work?
Well, you can either be an independent contractor or you can be an employee.
Yeah.
And I think what you're describing is an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. That's somebody. An independent contractor is someone with their own special skill set. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily work for just one person. They're free to work for whomever they want to work for. Mm-hmm. They typically bring their own tools and equipment to the job. A barber who is renting a space in a barber shop, I think, is a pretty good example of an independent contractor.
Yeah.
That individual, if he's truly an independent contractor and not an employee of the shop, mm-hmm. then he's not going to be covered under workers' compensation if the shop owner has it. He's going to be responsible for his own losses if he gets hurt at work.
Wow.
So he needs to carry medical insurance and disability insurance. Workers' comp pays for your medicals, and it pays for your disability from work due to the injury. So if you have health insurance and you have disability insurance that you've bought yourself, then you're covering the things, for the most part, that workers' comp covers for an employee.
Okay.
But you got to be careful, because just because somebody says you're an independent contractor, that doesn't necessarily mean you are.
Yeah, right.
You know, a true independent contractor has to pay all his own taxes out of his income, which means that your tax burden is about 7.65% higher than an employee's, because you're paying both sides of the Social Security Medicare tax.
Yeah.
Your employer pays 7.65% and you pay 7.65% as an employee, but as an independent contractor, you pay the whole 15.3 or whatever that is.
Right.
So you're paying higher taxes as an independent contractor, although you do have a bunch of deductions that an employee doesn't have. So it kind of offsets on your tax return. Typical independent contractor has to pay taxes on a quarterly basis, has to pay estimated taxes to the state and to the feds. And so there's benefits to being an independent contractor. There are drawbacks. From a workers' comp perspective, the Industrial Commission is keen to the fact that many employees are misclassified by their employers mm-hmm. as independent contractors. And the commission is not going to look at the label that the employer puts on that person. They're going to look at the actual facts and say, okay, well, this person's really an employee. He's covered by your workers' comp policy. If you got an workers' comp policy, he's covered. If you don't have one, guess what? You're coming out of pocket to cover him, even though you tried to claim he was an independent contractor. He really isn't.
Wow.
Because you're controlling his work, mm-hmm. Mr. Employer, so he's not really an independent contractor. Independent contractor is in control of his own work, like a barber would be.
Yeah. Again, he is Bob Bollinger, the Bollinger Law Firm. Feel free to give him a call, 704-377-7677. 704-377-7677. Also on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. This is Ask the Expert. Stick around. I've got some interesting questions for Bob in the next segment. I think you'll find them quite interesting as well. So we will be back right after this.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back to the final segment here of Ask the Experts with Bob Bollinger this week of the Bollinger Law Firm. He's a workers' compensation lawyer. You can reach out to him, 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677, BollingerLawFirmNC.com, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Just go on the website. You can get in touch with Bob in a lot of different ways, but those are your best options. So, Bob, as we were leaving that last segment there, I said I had some interesting questions for you, and this is one that has been kind of I wrote it down as when we started, and it's kind of been picking up my brain a little bit. I wanted to ask you about company vehicles. Okay. And basically, let's say, guy owns a company. I know a guy that owns a company, and he has several company vehicles out there, and he's got people driving all over the place, and he's responsible for all these folks. How does it work if he were to get into a car wreck and injure himself? The car wreck's not his fault, but he gets into a car wreck, injures himself, and he can't do the job. Now, is workers' comp going to be standing in there? If maybe the wreck is his fault, can he avoid workers? I mean, how does that work exactly?
If he's the owner of the company or if he's an employee?
Well, no, he's just an employee.
Okay, he's an employee of the company, and the company has bought workers' comp insurance like it was supposed to. Mm-hmm. All right, if your job requires you to drive around mm-hmm. for some reason, whether it's in a company vehicle or your own vehicle, and you are injured by an accident in a car wreck during the course and scope of your employment in this job during the course and scope of your work, then you're going to be covered by workers' compensation.
Okay.
So, and this comes up frequently in the traveling salesman scenario. Yeah. I've represented a number of traveling salesmen over the years who are in car wrecks. I've represented certainly truck drivers and bus drivers who had wrecks because mm-hmm. they're driving in the course and scope of their work of a company vehicle. Mm-hmm. I've represented sales representatives who were driving their own personal vehicle who had a wreck going on a sales call. You can even drill down to where if you've already been hurt and you're driving from the doctor's office who's seen you for your injury over to the physical therapist's place to get therapy and you have a wreck, well, that's actually covered too, even though you're not actually in the course and scope of your job at that moment in terms of working.
Okay.
You're out of work, but as part of your medical treatment, you get in a wreck. Going from point A to point B for medical treatment, that's actually going to be covered.
No kidding.
Yeah, under workers' comp. If the case is already covered under workers' comp,
right.
That subsequent accident would be covered.
Wow, that's interesting. I would not have guessed that one.
Yeah.
That's very surprising.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about truck drivers. You mentioned truck drivers there. Truck drivers can be independent contractors too. How does a truck driver handle that? You have to determine whether he's independent contractor or not and that kind of thing.
Well, you do. And most of the trucking companies want to call all the drivers independent contractors if they can.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And but a lot of the drivers are employee drivers. In fact, there's a lot more drivers that are employee drivers than what you might think. You know, your typical owner-operator is more likely to be an independent contractor. And if he or she gets hurt on the job, then either he or she should have bought workers' comp insurance. And a lot of these owner-operator contracts require them to buy workers' comp insurance, even though they don't have three employees. So sometimes they're covered by workers' comp because they bought their own policy as part of the independent contractor agreement. Mm-hmm. And other times they have other insurances that'll step in and kind of try to reimburse them for their damages. There's something used in trucking called occupational accident policy, which is kind of frowned upon by our workers' comp courts because those policies don't really cover the things that workers' comp does. So you can't use that as a substitute for comp. But if you're in a situation where you're not actually an employee, then that might be a reasonable alternative. But a lot of truck drivers are actually employees. The legal analysis as to whether a particular truck driver is an employee or an independent contractor is pretty complicated.
I would think so.
And there's a bunch of different facts that come into play. And there's, the law on that has changed somewhat in recent years. It used to be that if you're driving under someone else's ICC license or DOT number on the truck, you were considered to be an employee of whoever's number that was. Mm. that's not really exactly the law anymore. So we have to really analyze each case on a specific basis to figure out if that person's an employee or an independent contractor.
If somebody drives a company car, like let's say you've got a, you know, like I told you, I know a guy, he's got all these folks out there, and they're, you know, patched up cars are covered in the logos, this kind of thing. And they're allowed to drive that car home. Okay. That sort of, because not only is it a company car, but it's kind of their personal car too. When does workers' compensation cut off? When they pull into their driveway and get out of that vehicle, or at the end of the last job and then they're driving home for the day? When does worker, and they get in a wreck in that little time period from the end of the last job to the time they're going to show up in their driveway, get out of the car and go home and relax for the day. Well, if they got in a wreck there, what would that be?
Well, that's a great question. The standard rule is if you're coming and going to and from work, you're not in the course and scope of employment at that moment, so you're not covered by comp.
Okay.
So if you're commuting, for instance, if you or I are driving back and forth from our house to our office every day in the morning and then in the evening to go home, we're not covered by comp during those trips. But if in the middle of the day we get in our car at the office and go drive to this side of town to meet a client, that is covered by comp.
Oh, okay.
But the commuting is not typically covered. Now, you added a different fact to that, which is you're driving a car that's got your employer's signs all over it, and that you've been encouraged to drive this thing around as much as possible to provide exposure for your employer.
Yep.
That raises a different question a bit of a nuance. Is my driving that car back and forth to work providing a benefit to my employer such that I ought to be covered by workers' comp?
Huh.
So I think there's an argument to be made under that example that maybe you are covered by workers' comp even though you're driving from the job site home. Now, let's say you're driving from the job site home and you're not taking the most direct route. The most direct route is the interstate, but nobody much is going to see the signage on the car on the interstate. So you go through city streets so that more people are likely to see the signage on the car, even though it's a little further. It takes you longer, and you have a wreck.
Huh.
Well, right there, you've added some potential benefit to the employer because you chose that different route. That might be enough to bring you under workers' comp, even though technically you're commuting home. It's an interesting question.
Well, I think it's safe to say that I just had basically a legal epiphany there. I think it's pretty obvious that I should be a lawyer. It goes without saying. So last question here. We got just about another minute or so. When somebody has a question, what's the first step to, is it realizing what you need and realizing that you're going to need medical attention? Should you just go ahead and go get started, or should you call an attorney first? You know what I'm saying?
When
you get hurt at work, I mean, what's the first step?
Well, I always tell people, if you get hurt and you need emergency medical care, then call 911, get the emergency medical care you need. If you get hurt and you don't need emergency medical care, then you need to go report it to your employer and tell them you got hurt and tell them how you got hurt and ask for them to send you to the doctor. Because in workers' comp, you've got an obligation to report it to your employer, actually in writing, but you need to tell them verbally at first. And the workers' comp insurance company gets to direct your medical care. They get to tell you what doctor to go to. So your employer gets to tell you what doctor to go to. So if you're hurt and you don't need to go to the emergency room, like if you hurt your back and you're in a lot of pain, tell the boss, I hurt my back this morning picking up that barrel. I need to go to the doctor. I'm in a lot of pain. Who do you want me to go see? And give them a chance to tell you who to go see. And if they don't send you to somebody, then you can go on your own, but you need to file the claim properly with what we call Form 18 at the Industrial Commission. You need to do that as soon as possible. And before you give a recorded statement to the insurance adjuster, you need to get some legal advice to make sure you know how to handle that recorded statement so that you don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Again, he is Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm, specializing in workers' compensation. If you have any questions, you've been hurt on the job, give him a call, 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Bob, always a pleasure to spend some time with you, man. Very informative today, too, by the way. I enjoyed that one. Thanks so much for coming in, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, man. We'll see you again real soon. This has been Ask the Experts. Be sure and join us again next week when we will have some more experts and some more questions for those experts. We'll talk to you next week, folks. Have a great one. Bye.